Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Well, good Sunday morning. Welcome to The Drift. Thanks for catching my drift this Sunday. We are a talk show, 734-822-1600. Anything you want to comment on or talk to us about, feel free to give us a call. You can email me at gary@thedailydrift.com. And what we do on this Sundays is basically recap the news of the week and the events of the week and put a little political commentary on it. So our sponsor this half hour is Brighton Ford. Todd and Scott Spittler run Brighton Ford up there in Brighton, Michigan. You can reach Scott Spittler at 1-800-519-4155. Current newspaper, currentonline.com, that's C-O-U-R-A-N-T online.com. You can get coupons for Brighton Ford, free tire rotation, which is a wowzer, 1995 oil change, or four-wheel alignment for only $49.95. So go to brightonford.com or call 1-800-519-4155. So Brighton Ford's a good place to buy a car. I bought three. In the studios with me today, I have Joe Vollmer, CEO of Powertrain Solutions. And Joe, you're from Brighton, Michigan, so you've bought cars at Brighton Ford.
Yes, I have, Gary. Bought several from the Spittlers over the years.
Yeah, good guys. I love Scott. A good guy. They take care of you. They've got a great service department. So if you got service work to do, or if you're looking for a new car, new Ford, or a used car, they got a great used car selection called Brighton Ford. So, Joe, welcome back. We're going to talk about a couple of energy issues, and you are my guru when it comes to energy, especially in the automotive sector. Tell us a little bit about what you do at Powertrain Solutions.
Well, what we do is I work closely with Sturman Industries out in Colorado, and we're looking at advanced solutions for the internal combustion engine. And how can we run the internal combustion engine on alternative fuels efficiently? In other words, a lot of times you put an alternative fuel into an existing diesel or gasoline engine, it loses efficiency. And there are ways, believe it or not, to make the existing engines run more efficiently on these alternative fuels. And that's something that hasn't been explored enough. It hasn't been invested in enough. There's been too much of the typical American phenomena of silver bullet theory, where jump to the hybrids, jump to the all electrics. Let's take a step back and look at how we can use alternative fuels efficiently in the existing engines.
Right. Yeah. And you know, the same story I've told over and over again. In 1984, I had a Ford Escort with a diesel engine that I was in college, and I was getting 40 miles a gallon on this little Ford Escort. Loved that car. And never had any problems with it. 40 miles a gallon. And here it is, 2012, and only now are we seeing our small cars get back to 40 miles a gallon. What happened in this last 20-odd years or up?
Well, a lot of things happened. And, you know, let's talk about diesel specifically. I mean, if you look at Europe, there was an advance in the diesel fuel injection. In 1997, something called Common Rail Diesel came out, and it debuted on a Fiat over in Europe in 1997. And Common Rail, it was a real game changer for the diesel industry. It made the vehicle so much more quiet and, you know, so much less polluting than maybe the view had been of them in the past. And it proliferated in Europe to where I think 60% of all new car sales were diesels. And that exists today. And it's just now here in America where we're finally starting to catch on. And if you look at the number of diesel offerings that are coming here in North America in the next 2-3 years, you know, from both our domestics and from Asian and European manufacturers, it's remarkable, but it just took us so long here.
Yeah, Yeah, it's amazing what's gone on with this. We did have a phone call we lost. Tom from Milford, give us a holler back. If you got something to say, I'd love to hear it. So call us back. Don't like losing phone calls. So there was something, let's stay local here. And on AnnArbor.com this weekend, we saw Bob Lutz, former vice chair of General Motors. I think everybody knows Bob Lutz. He put a book out, too. He's the one that drives the jets, flies the jets, if I remember correctly. Was talking about clean energy here in this country. And basically is saying clean energy technologies must become financially viable without government support. And that's something I believe in. I'm not a big believer in subsidies for anybody, let alone the energy industry.
Well, you know, it's an interesting topic. I mean, if you look at – there's two different categories in my mind. There's short-term, let's help a new industry or product get off the ground, and then it has to survive on its own, versus the subsidies that go on forever. And that can't – in my mind, that can't be the case. I think that there is a case for some short-term things to help things – get off the ground, especially if you're competing against fossil fuels that are currently subsidized. So, you know, you can't say, well, it has to compete, you know, a new technology has to compete against a 100-year-old technology that's currently being subsidized. That isn't a level playing field. So in my mind, there is a role for some short-term government help to get things moving, but it should be pretty defined to be a short amount of time.
So I'm going to assume then that you don't believe in oil subsidies right now. Continue.
I mean, how can you possibly consider subsidizing an industry that is making billions of dollars in profits every quarter?
Yeah, that's me too. I mean, come on, with it. We don't need to be propping up oil. I mean, they can take care of themselves. They've been able to take care of themselves for decades. And every time they talk about taking away the subsidies, they say, oh, the oil prices are going to go up. They're going to go up to $5 a gallon anyways, according to what they're saying on the news now. Now, let it go to $5 a gallon, because that's one sure way of letting Obama get unelected this fall. So, Mr. Obama, if you're out there listening, or you and your cronies, go ahead, buddy. You keep raising those oil prices that way, because you're done. You're done if that goes to $5 a gallon. I can assure you, not even your friends will be voting for you at that point. So, I too believe in clean energy, and I think, you know, for me, I'm a free market guy. Take the capital gains interest off of anything that has to do with clean energy. You want to build solar panels? Make it a tax-free investment. You watch the money pour in. The technology will get better. You know, take that investment. Let the free market do what it does best. Take the capital gains off it and let it go.
Yeah, if you look closely at Lutz's quotes, you know, he says, hey, with all the new fines in natural gas and oil in North America, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be very hard to compete against fossil fuels for the next 20 years because of those new fines. But, you know, I say, and I agree with you, Gary, we've got to do things to help develop the future, you know, beyond those 20 years. We can't wait and then 20 years from now be reactive. Let's be proactive now and prepare this country for the future.
All right. So let me ask you something you and I both have talked about consistently. Hydrogen. Eventually down the road, the way to go, had a hydrogen tank in your car running internal combustion on it. Is that what you're thinking down the road for the cleanest form of energy?
Certainly, and there's two ways you could do hydrogen. You can burn it in an internal combustion engine, as well as do a hydrogen fuel cell, which is two different ways of going about hydrogen, actually. People don't realize that. And, you know, certainly, you know, there's a role for both. And there's a role for all the fuels. We have got to get away from this mentality of who's going to be the winner when it comes to the fuels. It's going to be a mix of ethanol, gasoline, biodiesel, two types of biodiesel, actually. Two different ways of doing hydrogen, as I just mentioned. There's plenty of solutions out there. We can't just say who's going to be the one winner.
Right. So, and that brings me to, I'm going to go off track, what we were talking about earlier. When we talked about bailing out the auto industry, and you get people on both sides, even Republicans, some conservatives will say, yes, we needed to do it. Some will say no. And it's the same with the Democrats. Some will say yes and no. What worried me most about the bailout was, number one, how it was done, because I think we threw the creditors under the bus in favor of the union. So I think the process was flawed. But did we miss a huge opportunity? I mean, there are a lot of wealthy guys who've worked in the auto industry for years who You know, had GM failed, had Chrysler failed, would there have been some groups of the underlings who are not on the board of directors who may have stepped up and said, you know what, I'm going to buy that factory that makes the Chevy or the Pontiac Vibe and come out with a new technology and put in a new car? Could we have ended up with a half a dozen more cutting-edge automobile companies in this country if we had not done the auto bailout?
Yeah, it's possible that, you know, having the demise of one or more of the big three might have propagated something that a lot faster. But I mean, I think what is exciting is what you're talking about is happening. And, you know, there's a company, you know, Think and Tesla and, you know, Look. There's several new companies that are out there, more than several, that are all looking at these alternatives. Now, they might have happened faster had there been a failure somewhere else, but you have to balance that against what the immediate right. job loss might have been.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's a tough issue. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back. 734-822-1600. Love to have your phone calls.
Wham! Talk 1600 can give a voice to your business, build a powerful brand, and increase awareness by sharing your message on Wham! Talk 1600. Our experienced production department will create a quality radio announcement at a price that can't be beat. You can even be featured on our website, whamradio.com, and in print media with Wham! On Main Street in the current newspaper, serving Washtenaw and Livingston counties. Unlock the possibilities and increase awareness of your business starting today. Call Wham! Talk 1600 at 734-971-1600 and get started now. The businesses that succeed in today's challenging economy are those that establish a strong presence in the marketplace. Call an advertising specialist now. Call 734-971-1600 now. Wham! Talk 1600.
With columns by Wham! Radio hosts like Theron X, Dave Janda, and Matt Clark, as well as the Capital Confidential and Herman Cain, you know that the current newspaper understands what's right. This free newspaper has been serving Livingston and Washtenaw counties since 2003 with area news, editorials, an event calendar, and more. Published monthly by Whitmore Lake Media, LLC, the current newspaper includes a variety of interesting articles from Deb's Movie Corner and Ask the Contractor to the Legal Spot, Garden Spot, and a fishing column. Whitmore Lake has some great fishing. You might even see a picture of your neighbor reading the current in an exotic faraway land. Visit www.currentonline.com. That's currentonline.com. Subscribe for home delivery, details on the website, or pick one up free today. The Current Newspaper, a community newspaper for those with common sense.
Your advertising dollar needs to go a long way, and it does with Wham! Talk 1600. You can't find a more affordable economic bang for your buck. The Yellow Pages? That's covered with dust lost in a closet someplace. Cable television? Nobody watches cable TV during the day. They may watch 3 hours at night at best. Music radio? Music radio is background noise. Same tired tunes over and over again. Nobody's listening. That's not the case with Wham! Talk 1600. You can't turn off Wham! Talk 1600 radio. It's fresh and interesting day or night. People are listening. Around the clock people listen. You're listening right now. So are your potential customers, and we cover all of southeastern Michigan with talk radio and information people pay attention to. This is talk and information radio people are talking about. Your business needs to be heard on Michigan's most exciting talk radio station. Your business needs to be advertising on Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-971-1600 today. That's 734-971-1600 for our super affordable rates and super advertising results. Start advertising today on Wham! Talk 1600.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to
then
believe this.
Then what you're going to do is turn
Marcy
into Marcy
and Brad
Avenue
just broke up,
and go past
and
the
apparently
first three
she's
lights,
happy about
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really think she's happy, but
you should be
who
there.
Am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right.
That's
I'll
what I heard last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks, How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham's Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour, followed by the Christian Science Sentinel at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ for their live weekly service. Finally, we visit the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor from 11 to noon. Start your week off right with Wham Talk 1600.
The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, brought to you by the Vincent Law Firm. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Thank you, forefathers, and thank you, Vincent Law Firm, for supporting that Bill of Rights and that document 24/7. The Vincent Law Firm, located at 302 North Huron Street in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Contact the Vincent Law Firm at 734-487-4970 or visit the Vincent Law Firm on the web at vincentlegalservices.com.
This is the Clark Cast with Matt Clark.
If it truly is a grassroots movement, I mean really grassroots, no, it's the people standing up, no, it's the people coming together to fight against the 1%. If it truly is that, then why are we having unions shuffle people in, paying them $60 a head, as you just heard, and then say, well, wait, we're just protesting. Oh, no, we're just part of the 99% standing up for freedom.
The Clark Cast, every Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Wham! You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for catching my drift this Sunday morning. We have a phone call. Pat from Brighton wants to talk about fuel cells and alternative fuels. Pat, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. Good morning to you. In 2006, I bought a diesel vehicle, and the reason I had a long commute, and at the time, you know, diesel was about 30 or 40 cents less the fuel price than gasoline. And in 2007, the regulation changed, and they came up with a cleaner diesel that I think was diesel number two, home, kind of the same formulation of home heating oil. And at the minute that happened, and since, diesel has been about 40 or 50 cents, you know, depending on the month, more. Do you think there's any coincidence that, you know, something like this, you know, you can see hybrids, you know, because of the technology, it's more expensive, but shutting off some of these alternative fuels and making it cost prohibitive or making the math not work, do you think it's a coincidence?
Well, I'd say no. I mean, because I'm a conspiracy nut anyways. But you enlightened me, because I think in 1999 I bought a F-350 dump truck and was talked into buying the diesel because of the maintenance and the lower fuel costs of diesel. And within like a month after buying it, diesel went from being cheaper than gas to being more expensive from gas. So I feel your pain. I went through the same thing. And that kind of tell, I didn't know there was something else going on with a change up in the legislation of how diesel is taken care of. Do you know anything about that, Joe?
Sure. That was in that time frame that they switched to diesel number two, switched to being what's called ultra low sulfur diesel. Essentially what it did is the old diesel had 500 parts per million sulfur in the fuel, and that legislation changed it down to 15 parts per million sulfur in the fuel, which essentially what it allowed is the new exhaust systems for diesel, which have to do a lot of cleaning up, it allowed them to not be degraded. So the change in the fuel was necessary to meet the new emissions regulations.
Yeah. Now, in Europe, when I went to Europe not too many years ago, it seemed like everything, all the small cars were diesel. And oddly enough, they didn't sound like diesels. They didn't smell like diesels. I mean, the advances have been pretty. Do you still have that diesel, Pat?
Yeah, I do. And, it, you know, at 115,000 miles, it's running like it was brand new. And I just think it's a great alternative, and I think what you guys mentioned with some of the car companies that are propping up and the technologies that are propping up, yeah, the more the merrier. I mean, certainly we've got to make, as Joe alluded to earlier, the playing field level, but the subsidy dynamic is certainly something that I don't agree with. It's certainly, you know, for the oil companies, as you guys mentioned, it's just somehow we've got to make these technologies cost inclusive instead of cost prohibitive, and that was really the point.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I did not address in your question, Pat, was the regarding the price of the fuel and the flip flop that happened there. The change that I described, where they went to the ultra low sulfur diesel recipe, if you will, really, according to the people that I spoke with back at the time, should have only resulted in about a 1 cent per gallon change to the price of diesel. So, you know, there could be, there's obviously other reasons that the price of diesel went up. One of them could be, and I've heard, is that with Europe's switched diesel, they actually ended up with a glut of gasoline. And they started, Europe started exporting gasoline to the United States, which actually drove down our price of gasoline versus an increase in diesel. So it could be looked at that way. Diesel didn't get more expensive. Gasoline was artificially cheap.
Right. So a little macroeconomics in play there would have done that. So, and we were talking during the break about the true cost of hybrids and electric cars and these batteries. When you have to mine those special minerals for batteries and all the extra work we have to do, and the poisons probably that we produce to make a battery, I mean, is electric vehicles and hybrids the answer? I'm thinking not, because...
Well, I mean, the CO2 crowd, you know, who tracks that, you know, so I read a study some time ago, maybe 2 years ago, where someone took a Prius and they looked at all of the transportation and mining and everything else that goes into making the batteries for a Prius and, you know, jetting the mined material to be processed here and then made into a battery there. The CO2 trail was huge, and it was actually much greater than just running a gasoline engine.
Yeah, and the payback. I mean, what do you do with a Prius when those batteries fail in 5, 6 years, whatever? Are you going to spend another $5,000 or $8,000 on batteries? I don't know what the cost is. I'm just asking. I know they got to be expensive because you're buying the car, and it's excessively expensive because of those same batteries.
Well, I think we still haven't hit that point in time where we have large volumes of Americans replacing battery packs on cars. And right. When that day comes, it will become news. Yeah. The scientists will know well in advance, but the public, you know, furor won't happen until the media jumps on it.
Right, right. Well, Pat, awesome phone call. Thank you so much for calling in, and call in anytime.
Thanks, guys.
So, yeah, I'm not convinced that that's the way to go. Let's kind of change gears here and go back to some advertising that we saw. And we got a lot of play in the media about Clint Eastwood's Super Bowl ad. And if the media hadn't brought it up, I would have never thought anything else about that advertisement other than, hey, it's just a cool ad and cool Clint Eastwood is doing it. Let's just play one section, track one, Derek, of that ad.
It's halftime in America, too. People are out of work and they're hurting. And they're all wondering what they're going to do to make a comeback. And we're all scared because this isn't a game.
All right, it's not a game. And I think people are playing a game with this commercial. I'll blame some of the GOP on this, too. Why, yeah, Clint Eastwood, conservative guy. Never been a big liberal in any factor that I know of, and yet people start thinking he's with Obama. So he had to actually come out, and there was an article done where he said, "I am certainly not politically affiliated with Mr. Obama." This was meant to be a message about job growth and the spirit of America. Eastwood, who is a libertarian and a longtime Republican voter, said that he was only extolling the virtues of Detroit's comeback. And that's the way I looked at it. I did not look at it. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I was out in California actually at the time when that ad ran for the Super Bowl, and you know, I saw it, and I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was a tribute to Detroit. And then you know, I started receiving texts from my wife and friends like, "Oh, did you see the great Clint Eastwood ad?" And we were all seemed to be happy. And it wasn't until later that all of a sudden I'm like, what is this political spin going on here? It was just, I took it for face value.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a guy, I listen to a Beatle album. I'm not listening for the hidden messages. You know, I'm listening to the song, right?
Right.
So
right.
I wasn't digging into it.
Yeah. And when people like, and I've, during this election more than any other, I've started looking at Karl Rove, the big architect for the Republican Party, allegedly. And he's just saying some of the craziest of things. And I, you know what? It's like, Carl, get off that crazy conspiracy kick. You know, I mean, who am I to say that? I'm a big conspiracy guy, too. But it just, it drove me nuts that people could take something as simple as this and spin it. I didn't think about it when I saw it and after people started talking about it. But it does tell you when here it is 2-3 weeks later, we're still talking about the commercial. So it was a good commercial, obviously. It did its job.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, if you take it for face value that this was Chrysler employing Clint Eastwood to promote, you know, the American spirit, I think it was an outstanding piece, and it's just a shame that it's getting dragged through the mud, but everything seems to these days.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. Which brings us to another ad that I want to get to. There was a lot of talk about Pete Hoekstra's ad. Can we run that track number two, Derek?
Thank you, Michigan Senator Debbie Spendetnow. Debbie spends so much American money. You borrow more and more from us. Your economy gets very weak. Ours get very good. We take your jobs. Thank you, Debbie Spendetnow.
I think this race for U.S. Senate is between Debbie Spendetnow and Pete Spendetnow. I'm Pete Spendetnow Hoekstra, and I approve this message.
All right, so we're going to talk about this ad. Joe and I are still laughing here in the studio when we're hearing another tribute to what I thought was a campy ad, but it's getting a lot of play. So we'll talk to you guys on the other side of the break.
People are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Liz White. As tensions with Iran rise, so do gas prices, with the national average for a gallon of gasoline spiking at $3.53.
The Oil Price Information Service predicts gas could peak at about $4.25 a gallon by the end of April. Meantime, drivers say all they can do is try to cope and conserve.
Reporter Lydia Oikai with Fox TV affiliate WNYW. Denying allegations of misconduct, a nationally known sheriff is resigning from Mitt Romney's committee in Arizona. Paul Babiou says he never threatened to have a man he was dating deported, but Babiou says he's been threatened for years about his sexual orientation.
I've had numerous people that would threaten this to me, to expose me, go to my chain of command, even in the military, and report this, and have done so.
And Babiou says he is still running for Congress. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Ellie's Place, a healing center for grieving children, is seeking caring men and women to volunteer as facilitators with its Children's Bereavement Support Program in Ann Arbor, which serves families from Washtenaw County and surrounding areas. The children who participate in these groups range in age from 3 to 18. They come from a variety of backgrounds and circumstances, but all are grieving the death of a parent, sibling, or other loved one. Through the Ellie's Place Peer Support Group Program, these children have the opportunity to grieve in a healthy manner and learn how to cope with the many challenges and changes in their lives following their loss. To qualify to become an Ellie's Place Support Group Facilitator, individuals are required to complete a 20-hour training program, which begins in March. Adults who are interested in working with children, have excellent listening skills, and can commit one evening per week for 12 months are encouraged to consider this rewarding volunteer opportunity. Interested interested males and minorities are strongly encouraged. Volunteer applications should be submitted no later than March 1st to be considered for participation in this upcoming training program. To request a volunteer information packet, please call 734-929-6640 extension 12. That's 734-929-6640 extension 12, or visit www.ellesplace.org. That's www.ellesplace.org.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enemedia are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham Talk 1600. Yeah!
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
All right, well, welcome back to The Drift. Thanks for hanging out. We were talking about Pete Hoekstra's ad and Debbie Spend It Now. We were laughing and chuckling during the break. Now, there was an article out this week. The actress apologized for being involved in her controversial Hoekstra Super Bowl ad. I am deeply sorry for any pain that the character I portrayed brought to my community, Lisa Chan wrote on her Facebook page. I feel horrible about my participation, and I am determined to resolve my actions. How horrible did she feel when she cashed the check?
Yeah, I'm sure she didn't return that, did she?
Yeah, I mean, what did you say? She graduated from Cal Berkeley?
Yeah, she's apparently the reigning Miss Napa Valley, which you can tell from watching the ad. And, yeah, she's a Cal Berkeley girl, so I was very surprised.
Well, we can be socially and politically incorrect. I mean, she's an American. She's not a Chinese, so I don't know why anybody's saying she's speaking. Her English was not broken. It was plain as day to me. Did she have the phony Asian Chinese accent, you know, like she was from China? Yes, and I thought she did a great job there. So she's obviously a decent actress as well. But the point of the ad was, we're spending money. It's not like people, and that's what the Democrats do. They take the emotional value of the commercial, or they try to find some value that's emotional and say, oh, you're denigrating Chinese people. No, we're not. The Chinese do what's best for the Chinese. I don't blame them for doing what they're doing. They manipulate their currency so their products are cheap and we buy them. All the more reason we should probably put a tariff on them and level the playing field. But it bothers me that even the own GOP candidates running against Pete are jumping on this Democratic nonsense and saying, oh, it's a terrible ad, you know. Did you feel that way?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where the truth, you know, the message that the ad is sending is accurate. I could not, you know, I feel terrible about how America has negotiated trade agreements with China and how China's currency is not on the market, right? That's not acceptable. How, you know, and certainly Pete Hoekstra has been extremely effective with that ad in getting his message out. And, you know, obviously it came out now in a controversial manner.
Right.
But, He's been effective, and more people know about Pete Hoekstra running for Senate now than they did before.
Yeah, because I was not feeling happy that he was kind of laying low all this time. So we've got a phone call right now, a guest coming in. Jeff Brenneman is the Senior Vice President at M Capital Management in Washington, D.C. He's a lobbyist, a very good lobbyist. He served as Vice President for Legislative Affairs at Western Michigan University, my old alma mater. And he has worked extensively on alternative green energy, higher education funding, and a wide variety of local government and economic development projects. Jeff, thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you? Good morning.
Well, thanks for getting up early. Are you back here in Michigan, or are you in Washington, D.C.?
I am. I'm in sunny Michigan, which is unusual to say on a February day.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a great winter, hasn't it? So let me ask you, you'd probably heard Joe and I talking about the Hoekstra ad. What was your take on that ad? Good ad? Bad ad?
Well, I mean, clearly it generated controversy, and in politics, controversy can be a good thing or a bad thing. I think out of the box, it did what he wanted to do, which is generate a lot of buzz. It went viral, and then you can debate the merits of the arguments against it or for it. I think in the last day or so, with this with the actress coming out and apologizing for her role in the ad, could take a new twist on it. That could end up causing a little heartburn for Mr. Hoekstra. But
right.
but generally, it definitely got the buzz, which is what you want in a political campaign.
Right, and it hit to me. The point was, Debbie, spend it now. Well, she certainly is spending it now, and has been, as has the rest of the Senate for years. Joe and I were talking during the break. Over 1,000 days since the Senate has passed a budget. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And what, Jeff, what is the reason for the U.S. Senate not passing a budget in over, well, 3 years figure?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear. The party in charge knows that by passing a budget, they would lock in numbers that would show trillion-dollar deficits. The way Washington has worked or not worked the last few years, the whole yearly budget process has been completely dysfunctional and broken. And so instead of doing what they normally should do, which is in the spring you pass a budget, and that budget then provides guidelines and parameters and numbers for then the Appropriations Committee pass their specific 13 appropriations bills that fund all the different areas of the government. So the budget process, which is non-binding, but it is a process by which the Congress uses their authority to then guide the appropriations process, pass the 13 appropriations bills, and send them to the president for signature. So by not passing a budget, the Senate has completely given up on the idea of even doing normal appropriations bills during that process, and instead, knowing that they will just pass these omnibus big bills at the end of the session, where everything is rolled into one, and it just kind of, it saves them from having to show piece by piece where a trillion-dollar deficit is going to show on the books.
Right. So they don't have to put their name on anything. They don't have to be responsible for anything. So at election time, they don't have to worry about being blamed for something.
I think that's it. Or show where they're not willing to cut.
Right.
Versus when you do an omnibus bill, you can say, "Oh, well, the leadership, this is what we had to vote on. This is what was the only choice that we had." And they can, the ones that need a political pass can vote no on the omnibus bill, and it's done. And say, "I didn't like the way that process worked." But by not passing the budget, that's why I'm a fan, frankly, of let's go to 2-year budgets. Let's have this process be once every 2 years, but get it done the way it should be done.
Right.
Let's have a real discussion once every 2 years, and it'll probably take an entire year to do that. And then Congress can worry about all the other things they need to worry about in the off year of budgeting. Because this is broken. Frankly, we haven't had a process go where you've had all 13 appropriations bills signed into law by October 1st in, I think, 20 years.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, we got a call from Rod in Chelsea. He's going to ask us about campaign. Maybe this is something you can help us with. Rod, are you there?
I am. Your show's so fast-moving, you're on to another topic, but let me back up for a second, if I may. I give you a thumbs up on the Hoekstra ad. I agree with 100% that ad was perfectly appropriate, and I think it hit home. Somehow the left thinks they get to monitor all racial references in this country, and I give Pete credit for coming out strong on that. The only disagreement I would have would be that, she apologized, but you know, she worked. You know, I don't know how long it took to shoot that ad, but they're typically not quick things. I don't see any reason why I should give her money back. But let me take issue with the Halftime in America ad. First of all, the thing that struck me was it's halftime. What does that mean? I mean, the country was founded in 1787. The Constitution was ratified. Halftime where? The only thing it's in halftime on is the Obama administration. Maybe I'm too sensitive to this, and you can comment on that, but from the get-go, I felt it was about Obama. Second thing is, where is it that it says we need a pep talk? We don't need a pep talk. We know what we have to do. You guys know what we have to do. We got to get rid of Obama. We don't need a pep talk. I thought that was extremely condescending, and Clint Eastwood is one of my favorite guys, and I think he was kind of led down the garden path on that. And finally, I don't think it was accurate. I mean, here's an ad that's let me think here. Okay, it's a car company that was nominally American, but it's not really. It's Italian, and it was bailed up by the government in ways that completely turned the rule of law on its head. And they're saying they're giving us a pep talk. Oh, sorry, so I got to disagree with you on that, guys.
Right. Well, good thoughts, and it's a good way to look at it. And I you know, for me, after I thought about it for a while, it seemed to me that he could even be saying it's halftime in America, and maybe it's time to change the quarterback. That's the way I like to look at it, because I think it is a good way to look at it. In a way, it is halftime. We got 4 years, and we need to make a decision. Do we pull this clown out of office now and put in a new quarterback? So, great thoughts, Rod. I appreciate you calling in.
You bet. Thanks.
So, Jeff, let's get your take on that a little bit. The Clint Eastwood ad, I'm sure you had a few laughs about it, as Joe and I did. We've been laughing all week about it, so it must have been a good ad, because at work every day we're joking about his gravelly voice. So what did you think about that ad? What was your take on it?
Well, I think it was pretty much the take that a lot of people have walked away from. And it's interesting, I think people in Michigan walked away with a different perspective than people outside of Michigan. It seems like we took a very different perspective. Some people around the country thought, oh, what a great ad. But I think in Michigan, we took a little different take on it. And, compare that to the M&M ad last year that I think, got everyone a little pumped up and thought, you know, hey, that's right. You know, Detroit's coming back and everything else. But the Eastwood ad just brought a little bit different tone.
Yeah, I'll agree with you that. But, you know, I take things at face value most of the time, and I didn't really think about it that way. But obviously, everyone's taking it a little different. So it was a good ad. Controversy is good for advertising, I guess, if nothing else. It's put Chrysler in the spotlight. But let's change gears and get back toward some of the clean energy stuff, because you're probably involved quite a bit in this on the Hill. A lot of federal funds in under Obama have been flowing to green energy firms, clean technology, allegedly clean technology.
Right.
Millions, and well, probably billions at this point, going to companies like Solyndra. Our own Unisolar here, I think in Auburn Hills this last week, if I remember the article, just filed for bankruptcy. What's your take on all this money flowing, and yet the money's just failing? It's not helping.
You know, I think you have to look at it from a different perspective. Do we want different sources of energy in this country? Absolutely. Do we want an all of the above approach? Absolutely. But when the government starts to reward one technology over the other, they always get it wrong. Always.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Let's go back to. Let's go back 10 years. Let's just look at the auto industry for a second. Let's go back 10 years when President Bush then was touting fuel cell vehicles, and they spent billions in the Department of Energy promoting research and into fuel cell vehicles. And, you know, the car companies all brought their prototypes up to the Hill, and, you know, everyone was all over hydrogen and fuel cells. And here we are 10, 15 years later, and there's still not a fuel cell vehicle that you can that the average consumer can buy. There's some test vehicles out there here and there, but they're million-dollar vehicles at this point. It's not going to be something that's mass-produced at this point. Then we got into biofuels, and oh, that was going to save the world. Ethanol was going to be the savior to get us off of oil. E85, and then all of a sudden people start putting E85 in their cars, and they watch their fuel economy go down the tube, and they say, well, this isn't worth it, even with a subsidy at the pump, bringing the price down. And then it was hybrids, and we got all excited about hybrids. The point being that it's a flavor of the month mentality that we've had at the government, and now it's translated into things like solar and wind and other things. You know, we've got to get away from that and instead have a government policy that says, what is our outcome? Is our outcome less coal? Is it less oil? And let's reward anything that gets us to an outcome, not a specific technology. You know, you can find ways to reward an outcome, and if that technology achieves the outcome, then incentivize it, but you incentivize anything that gets you there,
right.
Not trying to pick one technology, because the government is just horrible at picking technologies.
Right, right. Well, we're going to take a break. Can you stick with us into the next segment here? Jeff?
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, hang tight. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
With columns by Wham! Radio hosts like Theron X, Dave Janda, and Matt Clark, as well as the Capital Confidential and Herman Cain, you know that the current newspaper understands what's right. This free newspaper has been serving Livingston and Washtenaw counties since 2003 with area news, editorials, an event calendar, and more. Published monthly by Whitmore Lake Media, LLC, the current newspaper includes a variety of interesting articles from Deb's Movie Corner and Ask the Contractor to the Legal Spot, Garden Spot, and a fishing column. Whitmore Lake has some great fishing. You might even see a picture of your neighbor reading The Current in an exotic, faraway land. Visit www.currentonline.com. That's currentonline.com. Subscribe for home delivery, details on the website, or pick one up free today. The Current Newspaper, a community newspaper for those with common sense.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., we explore the world of art and antiques, commercially, academically, and from the perspective of the collector. Speaking of Art features renowned guests as our guides as we visit great museums, galleries, theaters, and historic sites. We'll examine paintings, prints, sculpture, and drawings. You'll hear from the artists and their patrons, and you'll gain a special insight into both contemporary and historical periods. We'll travel through monuments of world architecture and experience the evolution of design. Achievements in film, music, and stage will also grace our forum. Speaking of Art is one of the best conversations of your week. So, nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Sunday at 5 on WHAM. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
Settle in for a great conversation every Sunday at 5 p.m. Speaking of Art with Ed Hoffman, exclusively on WHAM Talk 1600.
Recently, the U.S. Navy delivered tons of food to hungry people halfway around the world.
But you could help someone in your own community simply by donating a can of soup.
Last week, a Navy doctor saved the life of a total stranger.
Just like you could by giving a pint of blood.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. So can you, whether it's by donating food or simply giving time, right in your own backyard. Brought to you by America's Navy.
Watch me now as I drop down on one knee, put the sequin cape of soul over my ample shoulders, grab the microphone, cradling it as if it was the back of a woman's pretty head, and deliver to you the finest in wig-singeing rock, hip-shaking soul music, and industrial strength, rhythm, and blues. I'm Theron. Join me right here for the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Theron for the rockinest show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m., right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
Okay, welcome back and catching my drift this Sunday morning. We have on the phone with us Jeff Brenneman, Washington lobbyist with M Capital Management. Now, Jeff, you also served as Fred Upton's deputy chief of staff here in Michigan back in the day, correct?
I did.
And Fred Upton, now the energy, is he the chair of the Energy Committee?
He is. He's the chair of the Energy Committee, but he seems to be best known this week because he's also the uncle of Kate Upton, who's on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. So.
Right. I had heard that driving in this morning, and Joe was just, I just told that to Joe, and he was laughing. He's like, you got to be kidding me. So. Fred Upton,
yeah. He said the headline in his local paper was, "All Eyes on Upton, not Fred, Kate."
Yeah, what kills me probably most about earmarks and special interests, when I drive the streets and the highways here in Michigan, over on this side, southeast corner, Detroit area, the highways are in terrible shape. But if you head out to U.S. 131 and 94, Kalamazoo area, which is like his backyard, the highways are spectacular. Does he have that much control? Is that him and his earmarks bringing that money there?
No. There was, if you look at the I-94 corridor through Michigan, that was that's been on the works for years to improve the I-94 corridor. I think, at the end of the day, you have more roads in southeast Michigan, and it's harder to keep up the infrastructure, I think, than you do on the west side. So, he did help get some money for I-94's widening through Kalamazoo, which was needed, if you ask me. But generally, the road money is generally funneled through MDOT, and then there's a process to do it. Other than you usually get a few earmarks for a bridge or something here or there. But
right.
I think you got to remember, Mr. Nolenberg over in Oakland County was one of the cardinals on the Appropriations Committee and did pretty well on bringing money home for Oakland County as well over the years. But there's just so many roads, you don't see it at work as much as you do over on the west side.
Right. Yeah, I just, every time I drive out to the west side of the state with my wife, we go through Kalamazoo and we see the giant, elaborate new sound barriers along the side of the road. And I'm like, man, they've got sound barriers here too, and our roads are falling apart back on the east side. I'm thinking, wow, somebody's got some pull for that kind of money. But let's jump back to some of this clean energy stuff, because besides cylinders, the list seems to go on and on about this door, and I'm sure you see this a lot. People moving in and out of the private sector and into Obama's administration, and then all of a sudden there's money flowing back to their firms that they either left or that they're going back to. This is government as usual? Is there any way to change this?
It seems like there's always stories about this kind of. I saw the same story that you're probably referring to yesterday about some guy who was a bundler for him and then went to work in his administration, and then all of a sudden a bunch of clean energy companies from DOE were funded at this guy's hedge fund.
Yeah, Sanjay Wangle.
Absolutely. I guess the only point I would make is in today's world, this stuff sees the light of day. I think probably it happened probably even more than we knew in days before the internet. But now we have, there is a lot of disclosure that has to happen. Every dollar is usually tracked pretty carefully and scrutinized. And so if that's the games that want to be played, they're going to get caught. They're going to be found out. Now, whether or not something happens, whether or not people get fired, whether or not people go to jail, whether or not politicians lose their re-election, I think is up to the American people to show their outrage when those kind of things happen. But
right.
Generally there are a lot of rules already on the books for how folks like me have to operate. I have to report every quarter who my clients are, how much they pay me, what political contributions I make. If I go in to visit an official within an agency, they have to report that I was there and for what reason. I mean, there's a lot of disclosure out there, and I'm fine with all of it. I have nothing to hide for what I'm advocating for, and you can look up what I advocate for and what contributions I make. Everything is accounted for and as it should be. But people are always going to break the laws that exist, and that's the point I guess I want to make, is that we can sit here and try to make more laws, or we can just try to enforce laws that are on the books and take care of the bad characters that are
out
there.
Yeah, I hear you that. Let's see if we can squeeze another phone call in from Ken from Livonia. Ken, can you hear us?
Yeah, just wanted to quickly call and let you know I attended last week a fundraiser at the Somerset Collection in Novi, sponsored by the Oakland County Republicans. Rick Santorum spoke for 35 minutes. Ann Romney spoke. And it was pretty clear that 75% of the people there were endorsing Rick Santorum.
Well, that's going to be an interesting election here in another week and a half. And, Jeff, can we get you to come back on again?
Yeah, sure. Love to, Gary.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for calling in. Ken, thank you for calling in. And we're wrapping another show. So catch us next Sunday at 8 o'clock on The Drift.